The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very good morning to all of you. My name's Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. Thanks so much for joining us here this early Saturday morning. This Saturday, we have kind of a special show for you. I have with me Hal Blackwell, who is going to provide us with, I guess, an insider's view of how the brokerage industry really works. Good morning, Hal. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no sweat. You wrote a book recently that is due to be published, I guess, pretty soon. That book is called Secrets of the Skim. First of all, when is that book going to be published?
June the 1st.
June 1st. Okay. So right now, you're kind of on the tour promoting your book, and as I understand it, you're going to have some type of seminar or conference at the Grove Park Inn. Is that right?
That's correct. We're doing a presentation on April the 6th from 1:30 to 5:30. I'm trying to stay away from the word seminar. It has a certain connotation, so I'm trying to call it a presentation. But I really want to equip investors to meet the challenges that they will face out there.
Okay. So the seminar that you'll be presenting and the book that you've written would be of interest to pretty much anyone who might want to have a better or clearer view as to how the brokerage industry really works on the inside, right?
That's correct. The book that I've written is more of an expose of the wirehouse members of the financial services industry. The presentation is geared to equip folks with the tools that they need to navigate these waters and to understand exactly what they're paying for the services that are rendered.
All right. Before we start, how long were you in the brokerage industry? You were a broker at some point, right?
Well, I was a broker slash advisor. They called us wealth managers at the company I was employed at. Prior to coming into the industry, I owned an independent insurance agency, and I sold that and made a mid-career change into the wealth management industry, and okay. I was there for four years.
4 years as a broker slash advisor.
Yeah.
And before that, a couple of decades or so, I think, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
About 20 years.
So you've got 20 years of financial services industry. So just wanted to lay that down to make clear that you know, you're not looking at it from the eyes of someone who's been in and out in 6 months or less, right? Okay.
Thank
so
you.
First of all, the book has to do with wirehouses. What is a wirehouse exactly?
Well, a wirehouse is a firm that has really evolved. Initially, these guys had a ticker tape or a wire there in their office where you could come in and make a stock trade or purchase a stock, and they would actually take the ticket to the window. The lady sitting behind the window would send the order over the wire that went in onto the stock exchange floor in New York, and your order was placed. And so those became termed wirehouses.
So that harkens back to probably the early 20th century, right?
Yeah, well, actually, those wires were in effect in 1987 during that crash. All the old guys in the office used to love to tell the story uh-huh. how those big orders came in, and they were rushing to the window to, uh-huh. to place those orders uh-huh. to sell.
All right. In your book, you make mention of the fact that the business model that has been in use or previously was in use by wirehouses was destroyed. I was wondering if you could just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a subject not a lot of people know about, but there were two events that really changed the business model for wirehouses, and that was the introduction of the $7 internet trade, along with the information that's now available on the internet, and the do not call list. And those are two very significant events in those firms' life, because in the past, if you wanted to be successful in the wealth management industry, you know, really, if your family had money, you had a built-in book of accounts. But if you didn't, then you had to be adept at going into the office after six, making phone calls until you talk someone into giving you money. And when that do not call list came in, that was a very significant event.
When did that come in?
Actually, that was in 2003.
Okay.
Federal Trade Commission instituted the Do Not Call list.
Okay. So that puts a crimp in the style of a, well, they call that dialing for dollars a lot of times, don't they?
Dialing for dollars.
Dialing for dollars.
Yeah.
I actually broke into the industry working at a penny house back in the mid-80s. Didn't know that I was working at a penny stock firm. That's how naive I was. And then it dawned on me over a period of months that this was not really the place for me. But you mentioned the online trades or the cheap trades. When did that first? You're talking about the discount brokers, right?
Yeah.
So when was that?
Well, 1997, I guess, was when the first one was available. But the advertising and the acquisition or the use of these firms didn't really take hold until around 2000, the year mm-hmm. 2000.
Okay. So now you've got online trades for $7, whereas in the days prior to that, when somebody wanted to buy some shares of XYZ blue chip stock, the ticket charge on that was what, a couple hundred dollars, a few hundred dollars? So that was the bread and butter for a broker, right?
Absolutely. So, it's very good bread, very good butter.
Okay, so now you can't really compete with that because, the market is competitive. So what did the industry do to try to adapt to those lesser prices?
Well, actually, I'll have to take my hat off to the industry, because they adapted very well. They instituted products that are termed annuitized investments, and also came up with products that paid a commission over and over and over again.
Uh-huh. Rather than a one-time.
Correct. The transactional model went away in favor of annuitized business. If you look at the monthly reports of these different wirehouse firms, they'll tell you exactly how much annuitized business they put on in the quarter.
And they actually describe it in that fashion?
They do.
So when somebody buys a product that pays a commission, what I think of as a trailing commission that's just kind of built into the product, would it be fair to say that is less easy to see from the consumer standpoint than in the old days where you bought some shares of something and you saw right on your ticket that you paid a few hundred dollars for those shares?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's buried more, right?
It's buried. It's obscure. And there are several different ways that you can annuitize assets with the wirehouses now. And they've made it they've done a good job of making it kind of a smoke and mirrors arrangement.
Right. Just to make clear what annuitize means, annuity is any stream of cash flows. So when you have a lump sum, I guess, you can string it out over a longer period of time or change the effect. It's kind of like a mortgage payment. That's an annuity stream for the person you're paying, right?
Right. Yeah. And, with a mutual fund, particularly a C-share mutual fund, that pays over and over. And then you look at managed money accounts, and those types of arrangements pay commissions repeatedly to the broker.
All right. When we get back, we're going to discuss a little bit more. You mentioned C-shares, and we're going to talk about managed money accounts. I'm going to get you to talk about that just a little bit more, put some clarity to that. My name is Glenn Wessel. I'm talking with Hal Blackwell. He has a seminar that he'll be conducting, or a conference, on April 6th about what you probably need to know when you're thinking of walking into that next wirehouse. We'll be back in just a moment.